Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inner Sight. Today we're continuing with the Seven Rays. We're doing the Seven Rays Part 5 today, and we've been speaking about the various unseen forces that affect our personality, who we are, our self-definition, and today we're finding out that there are so many aspects of the universe that do have effect on our being, who we are, our own personal reality. And so when we speak about what we call the rays, or what Alice Bailey rather calls the rays, we're speaking about energies and various frequencies that perhaps affect us. And we're going to move forward today and discuss Ray 4. Today's opening thought is once again from Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, and she's written 24 volumes of books, and all of the dialogue that emanates from this show is based on at least one, or sometimes more than one, of the volumes of literature written by Alice Bailey. There is one life, which expresses itself primarily through seven basic qualities or aspects, and secondarily through the myriad diversity of forms. These seven radiant qualities are the seven rays. And before we go into today's show on Ray 4, what I'd like to do is have Sarah and Dale recap what's gone on before. Would you please do that for us?
Well, we've talked about the seven rays as seven qualities of the Godhead, of divinity. And that's, I think, the most essential point to keep in mind, that these are expressions of divinity. Mm-hmm. There's the first ray of power, the second ray of love, wisdom, the third ray of active intelligence, the fourth ray of harmony through conflict, the fifth ray of science and knowledge, the sixth ray of idealism and devotion, and the seventh ray of order, ritual, and organization. Last week we talked about the ray of active intelligence, the third ray, and how that endows the quality of being able to work with ideas, with the mind, creating and sharpening the intellect of the human being so that the mind can work with ideas, develop them, manifest them in living, practical works on earth. This is the gift of the third ray. One aspect that I thought perhaps we should stress more is a statement from the books of Alice Bailey that says the third ray holds the key to evolution. And I was musing over this, why the ray of active intelligence would hold the key to evolution. And it occurred to me, there's that statement in the beginning of Genesis in the Bible that man shall have dominion over all the earth. And I wonder if the key to evolution doesn't lie in man's ability to use the mind to create the necessary forms and institutions that God intends to manifest on earth. Man is, after all, literally one who thinks. The Sanskrit origin of man is thinking entity, or one who thinks. So perhaps the use of the mind fulfills God's plan on earth with the cooperation and the willingness of humanity.
Yes, and another aspect of that active intelligence is also adaptability. That's also part of the third ray. And we talked about that a little bit last time. The adaptable ability, the ability to adapt, to take an idea and adapt it to the immediate needs of humanity. And we this is one an aspect of the mind or an ability of the mind to adapt, and we're constantly adapting. If you think about it, new ideas are coming out all the time, new inventions, and we're constantly adapting to new ways to think, new ways to conduct our lives. So it's a very useful ray energy quality of divinity provides for the human being, this ability to adapt.
That reminds me of that statement. I think it was Cardinal Newman who said, to be human is to change, and to be perfect is to have changed often. That's adaptability.
Very good, yes.
Thank you.
So, although this is the fourth ray that is about harmony through conflict, Alice Bailey also has another comment that we think is that really enlightens us about qualities of the fourth ray. And she says that the fourth ray teaches the art of living in order to produce a synthesis of beauty. There is no beauty without unity and symmetry. What do you think Alice Bailey meant by this statement?
Well, it's a common misconception among those who study the seven rays that the fourth ray of harmony through conflict is the ray of the artist, and it's not. An artist is found on any of the rays, but the fourth ray is concerned with beauty in a more spiritual sense, and I think this statement from Alice Bailey touches on that. She says there is no beauty without unity and symmetry. Now, someone who went to art school might argue about that, but we're not talking just about visual art, but about the spiritual beauty that comes through perfect balance, equilibrium, perfect symmetry, through a kind of completeness of or an equilibrizing of forces and energies that leads to beauty. That to me is suggested in this statement. The fourth ray is the ray of one who searches and seeks after beauty.
Yes, it says the fourth ray teaches the art of living, and in order to produce this beauty. And I think that's something that we really haven't come to grips with yet. The art of living, which suggests to me that there is a lot more to come in regards to how we understand this thing called art. It's much more than simply beautiful objects or art objects or a beautiful home full of art objects, and it really goes beyond the form nature to the very essence of what's within the form, and it's a matter of beauty comes from within, and the art of living has more to do with the radiating of love through human relationships, and I think that in the future this will be the form of artistic expression. We will see it more and more through the way we conduct our life and the way we live our lives will be something very artistic of beauty.
You can see the spiritual progression from the third ray of active creative intelligence to the fourth ray of harmony through conflict in this use of the mind, the active intelligence, to live creatively and to live in such a way that your life becomes it's in itself a thing of beauty. And maybe we can think of some people we've known, old people who might have passed on, whose lives, when we think of them as a sum total, were an expression of beauty. Mm-hmm. I think we can all probably identify one or two people like that. Their essence that lingers after them has a quality of beauty about it. And we're not talking about physical beauty or about any particular outstanding achievement. It's more like an aroma.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what you are suggesting.
Yes, an aroma is probably a good word for it. It's the inner radiance that comes through, and we see it in flowers, for example. The inner radiance of a rose and the essence of the perfume and the aroma that is given off by the flower. I think it's very suggestive of that fourth-ray beauty.
That reminds me that it's said in the writings of Alice Bailey that the fourth ray is associated with magnetism. And isn't scent in flowers a kind of magnetic factor because it attracts bees that carry out the pollination process?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And magnetism is very much a creation of the fourth ray, an expression of the fourth ray, rather.
Mm. Also color, the beautiful color that is so evident in nature is also a very fourth ray quality.
So when we take this idea of creative living, we can imagine that our lives, our essential being, probably expresses itself as a particular color and as a particular sound or note. And it might be a discordant note, it might be a murky color, or it might be something of beauty. But that's, we strive as souls toward the expression of beauty. And it comes through harmony, as you said, through right relationship between ourselves and the world around us.
What I'm concluding, based on what you and Dale are saying, is that that we approach our lives as an object of beauty, almost like as a medium that we're going to mold and create a life that is one that expresses beauty. Would that be correct?
Yes, if we can. We have the option, the opportunity to live like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can just put one foot in front of the other and follow our inclinations and our desires as they lead us down the evolutionary path.
Okay, well, that would be more haphazard.
Yes.
Why is the fourth ray such a powerful influence on humanity? And does it affect other kingdoms or lives as well? Well, let's take one question at a time. Why is the fourth ray such a powerful influence on humanity?
Well, it has to do with conflict, and humanity has a great familiarity with conflict. I don't know whether Dale would think of this, but it occurred to me that there's something in Hinduism called the three gunas, G-U-N-A, which describe three qualities of matter, of the material realm: rajas, or activity, tamas, or inertia, and sattva, rhythm, or harmony. Most of us, as human beings, are stuck somewhere between the polarity of activity and inertia. Not only in the way we handle our physical life, but in the way we think, in the way we feel, our emotional life, on all levels, there's a tension that we are constantly adjusting between activity and inertia, usually overdoing it in one direction or the other. And the struggle to find the perfect equilibrium, the perfect tension between these opposing forces eventually results in harmony. And that, to me, really sums up the essence of what it means to be a human being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the conflict through harmony through conflict. That's right. I'll get it right here once again. The fourth ray of harmony through conflict and beauty and art is very strongly influenced in humanity, because that is one of the duties, one of the objectives, one of the destiny of the human kingdom is to achieve a certain state of dynamic tension between these two, gunas that Sarah mentioned, of activity and
inertia.
And we also have a responsibility to other kingdoms and nature, too, and that's very important to think, to bear in mind. We're not just here for ourselves, because we have to act as a bridging kingdom between the lower kingdoms of the animal and the vegetable and the mineral kingdom on the one hand, and the higher kingdoms of the spiritual realm on the other. And humanity acts as a bridge between the two, and that is a very closely related to this fourth ray of harmony through conflict.
But we shouldn't give our listeners the impression that this ray or any of the rays affects only humanity. These rays govern all levels of life on our planet. And in fact, the vegetable kingdom is said to be strongly conditioned by the fourth ray. You might think, how could the vegetable kingdom, grasses, trees, plants, flowers, know anything about harmony through conflict? But I had the experience once of having a little flower garden, and I decided to plant some cosmos, which are a deep, brilliant, vivid pink and white, and some nasturtiums, which are a brilliant orange or brick red. Sometimes some yellow comes in. Then after I planted them and they started coming up, I realized to my horror that I wasn't going to be able to make bouquets out of these two different kinds of flowers, and I felt so stupid. I had planted colors that would obviously clash, vivid pink and orange. Well, then the plants blossomed, and in fact they made absolutely glorious bouquets. And it was such a lesson to me of how in nature, in the natural world, harmony is produced among energies or colors or vibratory rates, whatever you want to call it, that we would think would conflict. And that if we tried to produce them with man-made paints, would probably clash. I know some people like to wear pink and orange, and this is a free country, but I don't think they can pull it off. But in the natural world, no problem. Nature can bring together brilliant orange and pink, and it's glorious. And that's an example of harmony through conflict. There's a perfect blending and merging of different rates.
Okay. Well, what I'm concluding, too, is that what I see is that part of the fourth ray, then, is a profound respect for the dignity of all life forms and all manifestations of divinity. Is that also true?
Yeah, that would be true.
Yeah, okay. And for those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, and today we're speaking about harmony through conflict, which is Ray 4. We've been discussing the seven rays, and harmony through conflict is something that I find quite interesting. And I think what a lot of people like to know is, who are we? Who is Lucis Trust? Lucis Trust is the sponsor of Inner Sight, which you're listening to right now. And it was created by Alice Bailey around the turn of the 20th century. And she wrote 24 volumes of books that were... And we're perusing many of the topics that she's spoken about. And to find out further who we are, if you want to explore our organization further, we'll certainly be happy to send you out to free of charge a general package of information. Probably the most common question that's asked of us is, are you a religion? No, we're not a religion. We have people who participate in Lucis Trust, who read the Alice Bailey books, come to our meditation meetings and other meetings, who are from all walks of lives and have many multiple numbers of backgrounds of religion that we appreciate. And so if you want that general package of information, or if you'd like to order any of the Alice Bailey's books, you certainly may do so. And by the way, the books that you can order, if you're interested in scratching the surface of this topic that we're in dialogue about today, you can certainly do so by reading two books, Esoteric Psychology, Volume 1 and 2. That's Esoteric Psychology, Volumes 1 and 2. And you can order those books by calling us at 1-866-695-8247. Once again, it's 1-866-695-8247. And actually, to order any of our 24 volumes or cassette tapes of this radio show or prior radio shows, or if you'd like a free booklet containing the Great Invocation or a schedule of our meditation meetings or any type of information, you can certainly do so by calling up that toll-free number. An easy way of remembering it is to call 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York, LUCIS, L-U-C-I-S. Once again, it's 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Our website, www.lucistrust.org. And by keying into that website, you can certainly look at our prior archived shows. Our email is newyork@lucistrust.org. And we've talked about how the fourth ray influences a human being. Does it have a more universal effect, too?
Yes. In fact, it's said in the books of Alice Bailey that it mainly has an impact on humanity in a general sense more than on an individual. It is said to give the capacity to harmonize new ideas with the old so that there won't be any gap or break in the transition. And I find that idea very meaningful for today's times when we're clearly moving out of an old age and an old century into a new age, a new century. Certainly with the recent events of September 11th, I think universally throughout the world, people have a sense that there's a break with the past and that life is being transformed and that the future is in many ways very much unknown. But the fourth ray gives the capacity to harmonize the new ideas with the old. And that means that we must learn to preserve the very best of the past as we move into whatever the future age holds for us. Interestingly, Alice Bailey said that a group of fourth ray servers, meaning people who were strongly conditioned by the fourth ray, are active in the United Nations. And that gives you a sense of the preservation of not only of values and of achievements of the past, but of many different cultures, even as they seek to work as a universal or global institution. There's that bridging and preserving that is an endowment of the fourth ray.
Yes, and you wouldn't want to wouldn't want to go on without mentioning, too, that the fourth ray does manifest itself through individuals in very dramatic ways sometimes. And I'm thinking of, in particular, in regards to the artist or the musician, is it said in the Bailey writings that the fourth ray is a ray of color of the artist who, and one who loves color. And you'll find great amounts of color and brilliant colors in artistic expression for somebody on the fourth ray. And for a musician or a composer, for example, it is said that his compositions or her compositions would be full of melody and great melodic lines. And I'm thinking of someone, people like old Puccini and Verdi, perhaps, that these great composers wrote such beautiful, beautiful music, and the line, the melodic line, is so very strong in their writing. And that's typically, I think, a fourth-ray expression. So but the fourth-ray does manifest quite strongly often through individuals like that.
We've talked about how the rays are said to govern nations on both the soul and the personality level. And interestingly, Italy is a country whose personality is said to be ruled by the fourth ray of harmony through conflict. And you see that beauty, that sense of beauty manifested not only through the music you just mentioned, but through many aspects of Italian creativity.
Right, through paintings, through artworks of all kinds, sculpture and through architecture.
Mm-hmm. India is another country that is said to be governed by the fourth ray on the personality level. And people often remark who have visited India on the brilliant, beautiful colors of Indian life. On the level of the soul, we're told that Germany, Austria, and Brazil are governed by the fourth ray, and you certainly have a sense of the soul aspect of harmony through conflict in German culture, Schiller and Schubert, Brahms, Beethoven, Bach are the best expression of beauty in German culture, and that country as well as Austria and Brazil are governed by the fourth ray on the level of the soul, which suggests that it conditions their destiny, the point towards which those societies are heading.
Yeah, that's very, very, very true. And I'd say I just want to like to mention another musician. You mentioned Beethoven, and of course the Ode to Joy in the Ninth Symphony, and that's a beautiful expression of that fourth ray the fourth ray energy coming through, I think.
Spirituality and spiritual development is a major theme that runs through the Alice Bailey literature. How does the fourth ray foster spiritual development?
There are a number of thoughts that come to mind. It's said that for someone who is strongly conditioned by the fourth ray, the spiritual path is best trodden or pursued through self-control, so that one gains control over all the different aspects of one's nature. Again, coming back to that idea of activity and inertia needing to be balanced in a perfect rhythm or harmony on the mental, emotional, and physical levels. There's also probably for the fourth ray spiritual seeker the need to come to terms with conflict in a way that's creative and productive. Maybe sometime we should devote a whole program to the discussion of conflict, because I think we're so intent on avoiding it and escaping it, and yet spiritually it's a very productive, creative state of being when handled properly. And people might find it interesting to realize that conflict is often a sign of movement, of evolution, of creative growth.
Yes, it's we tend to shrink back at conflict and to avoid it, but if we can see our way through, then often coming out on the other side, we've gained a tremendous amount of development of spiritual insight, and that is perhaps what's being told here is the value of this fourth ray energy. We are given this quality of energy for a very specific purpose, and we just have to learn to use conflict in a very creative way and not let it be defeated by it.
Yeah, the name of the ray is Harmony Through Conflict, not Harmony and Conflict, but the harmony that comes through conflict, rightly handled through the handling of stress and strain. Mm-hmm. So all of the tensions and difficulties of modern-day life that condition us human beings are leading to something spiritually productive.
Okay. And something of great beauty will eventuate from all of this conflict that the world is experiencing right now. I'm pretty sure of that, because that's the way these forces and energies work.
Well, that's all for now, and I just want to say too that this show is funded by the generous donations of our listeners, and we need and welcome your support. And you've been listening to Inner Sight, and now we'd like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills. The purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.